Victor and Lois are siblings who were both diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. Lois lives and works in London, and Hector is a student living in Vienna. In their weekly podcast, Anxiety Calling, they'll be talking about different aspects of living with generalized anxiety disorder and how they get by in day-to-day life.
Welcome to episode 27 of Anxiety Calling. My name is Lois.
And I'm Hector. And today we're going to be talking about climate change. No one's missed what's been going on recently in the world, not even recently. The last 3 years have been, for me, where it's been most apparent what's been going on. What do you agree? What do you think?
I think it's sort of something I was thinking about this recently. It's just like how, just the other day, just like how much, like obviously, okay, let me gather my thoughts for a second. My perspective comes from growing up in, I'm not sure if you could hear that. This is a thunderstorm going on, so you might hear some lightning and thunder in the background, or just thunder because you can only hear thunder. Anyway, perspective comes from growing up in Munich, right? But alone that, just like how much the weather has changed in my lifetime since we were children, it really struck me just the other day. Like now I'm living in London, and I can only go off what everyone else says, which is like, oh, this, the weather's so, it's so hot, it's not usually this hot here and all that stuff. I believe them, obviously. When I was a child and I visited London, it was always very mild. It was never super hot it never felt super hot in the summer. It didn't really feel super cold in the winter either. But in Munich, it was always, you know, it got quite hot in the summer, and it was very cold in the winter. So, you know, you got a lot of snow. And I was like, how little snow I've now.
Loads of snow. I remember once it snowed so much we couldn't go to school. Do you remember that?
Yes, exactly. That's the thing. Like, you get some snow, I think, in January, February now, maybe. But you never have, like, it would start snowing in October, you know? It would start snowing in October, then it'd probably get a bit warmer again. And then, like, in November, it would snow a lot. In December, it would snow a lot. It was so much snow. And you just don't really see that anymore. And that's one thing I noticed. Also, what I was thinking was, when we were children at school, if it got hot in the summer, I think when it came to the point of 30 degrees, if I remember correctly, they had to cut school short. So we would be allowed home at midday. But they stopped doing that because it's that hot almost every day in the summer. So they basically have stopped allowing, unless it gets like, I don't know what the cutoff point is now. It used to be 30 degrees, but I think it's actually gotten higher now, because they would basically have to have sort of let people go home at like noon every day in the summer because it's just gotten too hot.
It didn't happen very often when we were young.
Yeah, and now it barely happened. It was always the best thing ever when it happened. It'd be maybe like 2 days in the entire year. In the entire summer, you get maybe 2 days where you got to go home early because, you know, end of July and August is summer holidays anyway. So that's the hottest time of the year. But it's gotten to the point where you get 30 degrees so many times that they stopped doing that anymore at school. I'm not sure if they've gotten rid of it altogether, if they've just like changed up their tactics, but that was something that really struck me. Like when I was a kid, we didn't have that so often, but I just suddenly realized like that must happen all the time. And I remember also at work, the thing is like in Germany, it's the same. I'm not sure. I mean, in the offices here, you tend to have air conditioning. But in Germany, most of the offices I was in didn't have it. So when I was in a small office working in an agency, they also had to, in the summer, had to be like, well, you know what? You get to go home at 3 p.m. because it's just too hot. When it gets like 40 degrees, like it's just too hot to work.
I mean, the thing is, one of the reasons Germany doesn't have so much air conditioning is because they didn't used to need it.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't need it. That's the thing. That's why I was like, because my partner's from America and like he's been living in Europe for a while now, but he was used to in America just everywhere there was air conditioning everywhere. And like that I think is quite a hard thing for Americans to get used to, is not having air conditioning all the time. And like I said, we were away recently, but there we had air conditioning. And I said, like, well, the thing is, we don't need air conditioning mostly in Europe. We just don't need it in most central. I mean, you know, and when in, because in France, it's the same thing. It's the same thing in England, France, Germany. You don't, it's not common to have it. In some places you do have it, but in general you don't. And because it just wasn't necessary.
Mm.
It's only really become so unbearable in recent years, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just so crazy right now when you see like half of the world is underwater and the other half is on fire.
Mm.
And I don't know, it was very, very, last week was very hot. I wasn't in London at the time. I was out in the UK, but outside of London. So I was actually okay. I managed to miss the incredible heat wave. But now it's raining, but honestly, I would take this, as long as it doesn't get too heavy. Like, I mean, I will take this over what's happening in so many places in the world where just everything's on fire. You know, I'll take this kind of dreary weather over that any day.
Mm. And what I did notice sort of since I started really looking into this stuff and gathering information, and it did really change a lot about how I see or how I think about the future and how my philosophy maybe even about life and humanity and stuff. Because it does seem, at the moment, it does seem pretty bleak because I don't see any change. I mean, see, the climate is changing very quickly, but our behavior isn't changing
not nearly fast enough.
And so, I mean, but the weird, perverted part of me is sort of somehow very curious to see what the end of the world will look like.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think I'd feel quite privileged if I was one of the last human beings.
Yeah,
I think
right.
To see
that's
how it all went to shit.
Quite a prestigious, you know, status to have.
Probably
when, like,
among the very last human beings to live.
Yeah.
And if it carries on like this.
Whoever comes after us will be making notes like, oh, at this point, all of the humans seem to die out. And they're like, what happened? Like studying our little charred dead bodies.
Yeah.
All frozen. I don't know what's going to happen. I think what's quite hard as well is that, so on the one hand, there's kind of like these things that you can do yourself, you know, little things. But we all know that the most important thing would be if like giant companies actually took responsibility. But at the same time, that means that a lot of people are like, well, I don't see why I should change my lifestyle at all, because actually all that needs to happen is these big companies to do stuff. But then for me, I can't, that's not enough for me, because then I'm just like, well, that's never gonna, I feel like it's never gonna happen. Mm. I feel like it's never gonna happen, because for it to happen, it has to be law. And before that happens, I don't know, you know, what has to happen, especially in so many countries that have these conservative leaders, they're not going to do what needs to be done.
No.
And so then it's kind of like, well, yeah, okay, maybe me deciding that, you know, I'm going to heavily, heavily reduce the amount of, like, I don't know, tampons and sanitary towels that I use in favor of reusable period products. Like, that's great. But in the grand scheme of things, not, it's a tight little step for both me and mankind, as it were. Because
you need
what
both to happen, that's the problem.
Yes, that's the thing. You need everything to happen. And like, I can start with me.
Mm.
I'm, you know, I need people in power to actually use their power to do what they're supposed to do. And I think that's just so hard. I think what kind of prompted us to do this episode now was also just the ridiculous, ridiculous thing that's going on with all these billionaires who could be using their money to actually, like, literally, it's been calculated how much money one would need to solve the climate crisis. And yet they're spending it on going to fucking space.
For 3 minutes.
And like trying, and fucking Jeff Bezos trying to be like, oh, this is going to be the new form of tourism. There are not going to be any people to do it anymore. there'll be no one left to go on your stupid spaceship for millions of dollars to go see space for 3 minutes. There won't be anyone there left to do it if we don't do something now, you know? It's just so frustrating. And you see them at least like, I just can't, it's, and I don't, like, not, I'm not, like, the person who just hates rich people just in general, because I don't. But
there are lots of rich people I hate.
But these people are so ridiculously rich that it doesn't make any sense. And that kind of money doesn't make sense. Nobody needs that kind of money. And especially when you have someone like Jeff Bezos, who is ridiculously wealthy while underpaying his staff and keeping them in this, in the worst possible working conditions. We all know it, but we're all so dependent on Amazon.
Mm.
We're all so dependent on it. That is like, we, as much as you might hate it, you, it's so hard to like be like, okay, well, I'm just going to like boycott it, because like you can get literally everything on there. And it's not just the ordering stuff. They've also now, like, a lot of people rely on it to get food. And there's Prime Video, there's so much, you know. And
this is one of the hardest things about, I think about, if you were to change something about your behavior, right, to do your part in helping against climate change, one of the hardest things is that it's not much fun.
And
this is also because we've been conditioned to understand fun as that, but that doesn't make it any easier. And you know, everyone wants comfort and easiest. Everyone, you know, no one wants to. I don't know. I mean, but it starts with. I mean, the thing is, it's everything basically. It's what you eat. It's where you order. It's what clothes you wear. What streaming service you use.
Food you buy. And I think so many people, it's like, it's so much that you have to take into account. Also, they make things that are more environmentally friendly more expensive.
Mm.
So the organic cotton things, if you want to, like, if you're an H&M, you're like, oh, this is the stuff that's like recycled, or this is like, you know, organic cotton or whatever, it's more expensive than the regular stuff. Mm. And also another ridiculous thing is, like, a lot of people are like, oh, you should buy secondhand. Great. In London, most secondhand shops are actually more expensive than going and buying stuff new, because it's like, oh, this is vintage, but it's not really vintage. You'll go to a shop and it's like claims to be vintage stuff. You'll buy a t-shirt for 40 quid and then find exactly the same t-shirt in Primark for 5 quid. Like, that's the kind of stuff that goes on here. And like, I'm having a hard time. I'm sure there are great shops here in London where you can get good secondhand clothes that aren't a ripoff, because the whole point about secondhand clothes, in my opinion, should be that they're cheaper. You know, they shouldn't be.
Oxfam, I think. There's things like that.
Yeah. So you need to, like, I need to find ones that are good. Most ones that I've been to so far have got like the charming tax on them to make it just more expensive, because it's like, oh, it's like kind of fancy because you're getting something secondhand, which so means it's vintage. But most secondhand stuff is not vintage. Mm. You know.
But this is, I think that's also part of the problem. So the thing is, like you said, products that are ethical are usually more expensive, and sometimes not only because it's harder to produce, or because it's the quality is higher, but like you said, just because what you're also paying for is your conscience.
Yeah.
And some companies know this, and they know this, and that's why they price these things higher, and because it's all part of this big machinery. But then on capitalism as opposed to climate change, but I think it actually hangs very closely together.
They do. Capitalism is like the sole reason we have this terrible disaster.
Mm.
And also the thing is, like, we all know we should be like reducing the amount of dairy farms that there are. We all know we should be eating less meat, but the milk alternatives are like twice as expensive. You want to get like oat milk, it's like twice as expensive as cow milk.
Mm.
And you want to get meat replacements, they're also pretty expensive in comparison to how much it is compared to how much meat you can get for that if you are looking for cheap meat. And that's another thing. It's like, oh, you should only get, like, you know, responsibly sourced meat, which again is a lot more expensive than irresponsibly sourced meat. And so too many people don't have enough income for this. I think
if they just made meat really expensive, if they put like a tax on meat, like a CO2 tax on meat.
Exactly, you could
do that. Like they do taxes on cigarettes and alcohol or some places.
Yeah, you could make meat more expensive, or just like generally like animal products more expensive, and at the same time lower the prices of plant-based stuff, especially stuff that isn't as bad for the environment, easier to make, you know, because there's things like almond milk, it tastes great, but it's not that good for the environment.
No.
And also, like, as you know, soy again is another thing that is quite, you know, where it's like, okay, it's not the best for the environment, but at the same time, most of the soy that is imported to the UK isn't even to make soy products.
It's used to feed cows.
So we wouldn't need, I think if you were just using soy for, you know, meat replacements or for milk, you know, replacements, and we were just using it for that, it probably wouldn't be such an issue. The problem is most of it is used actually to feed cattle, to make milk and meat and stuff like that. So yeah, it makes me very angry because I feel so guilty about everything I do that is even the slightest bit indulgent, you know? Meanwhile, there's so many people that are just watching the earth burn and they're fine with it because they're making money. And I'm just like, what are you going to do when you're dead? Your money's not going to help you then.
I think if you put like a CO2 tax on every product, right? So the worse it is for the environment, the more expensive it would be, right? Mm-hmm. That would make sense because then you'd be paying not with life expectancy actually in the long term or with your children's future. You'd be paying with the money you're earning right now.
Mm.
If you were to put a tax on every product, so meat obviously would be higher taxed, or obviously all oil-based products, plastics and oil and fuel, then people automatically would change. Like you saw in the UK when they put the prices of cigarettes up to, I think, what is it, 10-12 quid you pay now?
12 quid at least.
I think like millions and millions and millions of people stopped smoking simply because they couldn't afford it.
Yeah, yeah. And very few people actually smoke cigarettes here. Like we get people who vape, and that's also not great for the environment again because you've got these little plastic pods you have to get rid of. But yeah, there's a lot less smoking in general here, to be honest.
I mean, some people would say that is discriminatory to make people make meat, for example, unaffordable for low-income families.
Well, that's why you should make the meat replacements, the healthy meat replacements, cheaper.
Exactly. So those would be cheaper. But I mean,
it's discriminatory because
no, it
it's
is.
Kind I mean, of like...
I know it is. So I'm just saying people would say that.
Because lower-income families will have to opt for the cheaper meat. You know what I mean? Which is less, the quality's lower, it's bad for the environment, but they don't have an option, so they're always going to get that. So while it's selling, it's kind of like supply and demand, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's how it would be. So like the cheap meat that they have now would be maybe twice as expensive as now, and the expensive meat would also be even more expensive. So you'd have the tax would add onto. So even if you want your organic Kobe cow, you know, which has been rubbed with beer for 10 years, then as a very rich person, then you still have to pay even more for that.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be just it wouldn't be just hitting people with lower incomes, and yeah, and things which are environmentally friendly would become extremely affordable. So for example, like you said, oat milk, which grows everywhere in Europe.
Yeah.
Oat grows everywhere. It's really cheap to make and it's very sustainable. It doesn't need a lot of water.
Yeah. And it's good for you as well. Oats are good for you.
It's good for you. You could probably sell for a liter for about 30 cents and you could still make a profit.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the thing. I've really noticed is it's kind of like, and I've noticed this with everything. Like when I go to a restaurant, for instance, and I want to get the vegan option, it's more expensive than the meat option.
Yeah.
Oh, like there's a place I love to go to, make a wonderful, wonderful Italian sandwiches. They only have one vegan option on the menu, and that's fairly new. They've only recently added it. But that, again, is more expensive than most of the sandwiches that have things like burrata in them or like meat, like specially like imported Italian, you know, cold cuts. Those are cheaper than this one that just has aubergines in it. And you're kind of like, why is it? It's obviously that expensive because it's the only vegan option on the menu. So any vegan who wants to eat at this place, and it is great, the food is amazing, will have to go for the one vegan option. And it is, I feel like it's overpriced.
I think one of the problems here is especially that the politics and the laws and also mostly the CEOs of larger companies and whatnot, these are mostly people who are going to die within the next 10 to 20 years, actually.
Exactly,
these are people who aren't really, first of all, why would they really care about a sustainable future. But second of all, they maybe don't even understand it. You know, and I do know a lot of young people, I think, who don't have a lot of money, because young people don't usually have money. Mm. If it were cheaper to travel by train, most people probably would spend 10 hours in the train, absolutely, as opposed to 1 hour in a plane. If it cost like 20 euros to take a train from, I don't know, from Berlin to Paris or whatever. And so I think one thing that the politicians and big companies also say is that, oh, you know, the consumer chooses stuff. But it is that partially, yes. But it's not only that. It's also, it could be made more attractive. And I think, like I said, when you're young, you just often don't have that much choice, because you are usually, you usually don't have a lot of money when you're young.
Yeah.
And
exactly. And this, I mean, here as well, I think it's sometimes, so the trains are really quite expensive. And so a lot of people choose to even...
They're really expensive in the UK.
They fly within the UK from one location to another with a plane, because it's cheaper than getting on a train and take it for like 2 hours on the train, you know what I mean? It's and that was also so ridiculous. He said that, like, that summit in Cornwall, and fucking Boris Johnson went there on a private jet to talk about the climate crisis. He went on a private jet to Cornwall. You can get a train, it doesn't take very long to get to bloody Cornwall, or an electric car, for God's sake. Like, it wouldn't even be that, it would not have been difficult for him to get there.
Well, I mean, yeah, this is the next problem, that I think on a global scale, there are most, or lots of the larger governments are more conservative, and thus more interested in the economy than the climate.
Yeah.
And I know, like last week, the Austrian chancellor said, you know, he thinks that a climate-friendly future is possible without changing anything, without losing any comfort, as it were, which I think is bullshit. It's not possible.
It is bullshit. Also, I personally do find it, I am more comfortable on a train than on a plane, because, I mean, flying is the worst thing. Like, I don't understand people who enjoy flying. It used to be cool. I think it used to be like this fancy thing that people did, and it used to be nice. Now, flying is one of the worst things ever. It's
the only thing worse than flying is going on a bus.
Oh God, that was the thing. I was like, the most annoying.
The bus
thing
has
to
like
me.
The discomfort of an airplane with the time, which takes even longer than the train usually.
It takes forever. It's the most uncomfortable thing in the world. Everything stinks. The toilet is the worst. Sometimes you can't even like go. Sometimes they have a toilet, but it's out of order, and then you can only go when they do a little Raststätten stop. So when they stop to tank. To put, you know, gas in the tank. You never have enough food. It's always just so uncomfortable. I've absolutely always hated buses. And I was constantly got in these situations where, like, the people I went on these buses with, I was the poor one. They weren't the poor one. They had rich parents. They didn't need to take a bus, but they wanted to. It's always, I mean, I don't want to generalize here, but it is often the rich people who refuse to spend more money on things, even though they could afford it. And, like, I would be more than happy to spend more money on a train. Then sit in a fucking bus. But like, so often I was in a situation where somebody just refusing to pay the extra money. It wasn't often even that much, especially as a student, wasn't so bad. Now I have like this rail card thing going here in the UK, but I can only use it with my partner, so I can't travel with anyone else. And it actually does make a huge difference. So when we recently went down to Bournemouth, took like 1 hour and 45 minutes on the train, so very quick. It's not far away from London, and it really wasn't that expensive, because we had this rail card thing where you get like 30% off your tickets because you travel together, and it's like a whole thing. But it was if you know that, you can get some really good deals on the trains. But if you don't know, you know, it's it just seems very daunting. And like you remember when we went down to Scarborough, it was unbelievably expensive.
It was so expensive.
Unbelievably expensive. And often in Germany it was the same thing of like, there are so many countries that border on Germany that you could get to very easily with the train, but it was often like at least twice as expensive as flying.
Yep.
You know? Like, you wanted to go to Paris, It was just way, 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 way more expensive by train. Here, like, I absolutely refuse to fly to Paris from London because you can just get the train directly from King's Cross to center of Paris. Like, why? And only like 4 hours, I think it takes. Like, I absolutely refuse to do the plane because it takes like an hour to get to Heathrow in the first place. Then you want to travel on the plane for like an hour or an hour and a half. And then you've got to spend an hour getting into central Paris, you know?
Yeah. I mean, mostly I travel by train. Actually, because first of all, because I hate flying, I hate airports. That's one big motivation. And also because I actually like being in a train because I can work a lot and I like being able to walk about.
Yeah.
Also, one large part is actually guilt about flying short distance. But I mean, usually I was in the luxury position of being able to afford a little bit more to be able to pay for it. When I reached a certain age and we'd been working, you know, long enough to earn more money. But when I was younger, I remember 18, 19, I could only afford to fly if I wanted to go somewhere.
And often it's also not just, you'd have to fly with ridiculous companies like EasyJet, which I also just don't like, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard, especially it depends on the situation. Like if it's an emergency, you're in a hurry, you really need to get to a place ASAP, you know? Then I understand, of course, sometimes, you know, taking a flight is just the easier option and quicker option, especially in an emergency. If it's a question of like 5 hours or 1 hour and it's, you know, you have a relative that doesn't have much time left, you know, then of course I completely understand that. And also I feel with long distance, I understand that too.
It's long distance.
A bit more worth it if it's long distance.
I mean, I don't think one should abolish air travel. I just think you should make it just tax it properly, you know. Have
I think what you should do is like
tax on it.
At the very least make an even playing field for both trains and planes, because at this point it's not an even playing field. It's so much cheaper to fly most of the time. Why would anyone go on a train? You know, because then the arguments against it are just too high. That it's like it takes too long and it's more expensive. Like, why would you do that to yourself?
Yeah.
So I understand why most people are like, okay. And of course then, because then my argument is, well, I can't, my conscience is killing me. But then, you know, people will say, well, I mean, the plane's going to take off anyway, so it's going to happen either way. I don't like that excuse though.
I mean, one thing I was thinking about is what really baffles me is if people decide to have children, which is fine. But I think if you decide to have children nowadays, as soon as you do that, you automatically, I think, you have the responsibility to start actively, do whatever you can to make sure this child has a future, which would be, you know, well, obviously voting for political parties which will enforce green policies, environmentally friendly policies, also changing your own behavior, not driving a fucking SUV, going everywhere by plane. And if you decide not to have children, then I think it's perfectly legit to, you know, live completely hedonistically and spend lots of money on things which are terrible for the environment. Because, I mean, of course, you could say you have the responsibility for everyone else as well, but I understand that more. I'm more able to understand if someone says, okay, you know, I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I want now.
Yeah.
And, you know, who cares what happens afterwards? That makes more sense to me than people who have children.
And don't change at all.
And still, behaving in a way, or not doing what they can to, in short, not doing anything to make this child's future sustainable.
Yeah.
Because what is going to happen if it carries on like this is we're going to continue having massive drafts and massive rain, so downpours of rain, which will mean, obviously, it'll have terrible effects on agriculture
and more and more of the earth is going to become uninhabitable.
And then you see mass migration.
You see how unwilling countries are to take in refugees and already now. Like, what do you think they're going to be like when they're actually when they are, what's it called, environmental refugees, like people who can't live in a country because it's uninhabitable?
Mm.
Like, it's not like people are suddenly going to be better about it.
But this is like what I said, the more you read about it, the more you delve into it, the more you realize, okay, we're really royally fucked.
I know!
And that makes it quite hard to be sort of optimistic about the future. And like I said, there's two options, I think. There's one is just to sort of give up and just enjoy it while you still can, because it's going to be over in like, well, we've got maybe 30 years. 30 to 50 years left.
Yeah.
The other one would be sort of to really try and get active, or as active as you can, in forcing change, whether it's your own behavior, but also pushing for political interventions.
So fucking don't vote conservative every single time, because it's good for your taxes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the reason why most people do it. Like, there are the crazies who literally are just like terrible people who actually think these are good things, but then there are the ones who are just selfish, who are like, well, I'm, you know, this is good for my taxes, and so like I'm gonna vote for the Conservative Party because I know that I'll have to pay less taxes. That, you know, is another big motivator for people. But again, my question is, how useful is your money when we're all dead? You know, how useful will it actually be? You think you're going to get a little ticket to go into space with Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos to live in space? I don't even want to do that. I think I'd rather die on Earth than be stuck in space with Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, coming back to that, then that is really just shows the level of insanity that we've reached. That, you know,
how is that even legal? You know?
As well, because, you know, it's money and money makes everything legal. But that is a very odd thing. So they're not going to be able to populate Mars, because we're all going to die before that. And, you know, the chances are...
to populate Mars. It's uninhabitable.
It make much more sense to try and save our planet before bothering to try and destroy someone else.
Because a lot of people obviously on Twitter were saying like Elon Musk is a complete douche, and he was like, oh, this is representing hope for humanity. I'm like, no, that is not that is not what we should be doing. We should be trying to fix Earth. You can't just be like, it seems like they've just given up. It seems like they've been, if that's what their attitude is, then it must be that they're kind of like, either we don't know something and that's why they're not, you know, that's why they're not even bothering.
I considered that.
Yeah, that's why I lit this one, because, like, you know, my paranoid brain doing its thing, I'm kind of like, what if there's something that just we don't know? Like, what if it is? Because, like, you hear over and over again, you watch these documentaries by David Attenborough that really depress the shit out of you. And then at the end of it, he's like, oh, but there's still hope, because if we do this, then we could still turn everything around. But then I'm kind of wondering, like, why are we not doing these things? I don't see these things happening. They're just not happening. And why are they not happening? Is it that it literally is too late, in which case I wouldn't mind knowing that, you know? I think another aspect of all of this that makes it very hard is not just about humans, because I'm really, as nihilistic as this sounds, I don't really care that much about human beings. But I really do hate what I'm seeing happening to the animals. Some of this is not their fault. This is our shit. We did this. But you see animal species dying out. You see them struggling so hard because their environment is just being destroyed by us, and it's our fault. And they didn't do anything to deserve this. They're completely, they live, you know, in harmony with nature. We're the problem. And it just really hurts seeing that, you know, just seeing what we've done to the ocean, we've done to the jungles, we've done to the Antarctic. It's really, really sad. And I really wish that at the very least that wouldn't happen. Like, if we all die out, I can live with that. But, like, I really hope there are at least some animals left to just, like, inhabit the Earth when we're gone, so that they can just, like, reclaim it. And maybe, you know, things will get better then. But...
this is a public safety announcement. These people are not mental health professionals. Any advice or information given in this podcast is based on their personal experiences and is meant to raise awareness and help end the stigma of mental illness. I repeat, these people are not mental health professionals. Thank you for listening. This message was brought to you by Jared Roro.
Well, a couple will survive, but probably most will die before we die.
Exactly. I don't want the ice, you know, polar bears to die out.
They probably will.
They're so depressing, you know?
That is the very depressing part as well, yeah. Is the odd thing I find, but what I don't know, the thing that I find odd though is that it's, you know, we've known this for quite a while. We've been seeing documentaries about polar bears for ever.
Ages, ever since I was a child, I remember seeing.
That's when it sort of started, you know. Yeah. It sort of started with, and some animals were sort of endangered or things were melting. It's like it's really escalating now and still nothing's happening. You know, you can see it on the news every day. You see wildfires, you see floods where actually quite a lot of people just really suddenly and brutally die in Germany. Like just now, about 180 people died in a sudden flooding. In China, the same happened. And in New Zealand, we've also got floods.
They didn't have the time to react. It was that fast, you know?
Yeah. And, but even that doesn't seem to be, you know, I mean, I was actually quite pleased when I saw the whole Fridays for Future thing really sort of exploding, because it seemed like, okay, this is, you know, lots and lots of young people getting very, very active. And then COVID came and really fucked that a bit, you know, I think. Because there was, I think, a lot of the momentum of that, of the large green environmental movement that was happening in 2019, really got crushed slightly by COVID and that suddenly being the big thing. But although COVID was actually quite good for the environment in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except all the PPE, which is now floating around in the...
Of course. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard the thunder.
It's a thunderstorm. Yeah, exactly. I just had a thought. Oh, no, oh, yeah, I was thinking about Greta Thunberg. Because that's like this thing of like, you have activists who are really, really fighting, but then there's a lot of people who just hate them. Like, what right do you have to hate this teenager who's like making all of the good points, you know?
Mm. I really wonder about that too. Why people bother to, you know? I mean, she's not Greta Thunberg's not harming anybody in what she's doing. She's just making people aware of what is actually going on. And then there are people who really hate her.
They really hate her.
And this not only right wing fringe people. There's people like right in the center of our society. Completely really hate her.
Like quote unquote normal people. Just everyday people that you know that like our age as well, not just like, you know, older people who you might expect to kind of be rubbed up the wrong way by this.
Mm-hmm.
But like young people as well. And I am 100% convinced that a part of it is misogyny, that a part of the reason there is so much hate towards her is because she's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guarantee you, if she was a boy, there would be more people who were like, oh, look at this young man, you know, caring about the environment. So nice to see young people getting political. I guarantee you that there's a big part of it is that she's a woman. And I think another big part of it is that she has Asperger syndrome.
Yeah, lots of people really dig into that.
I think there's a mixture between misogyny and ableism going on there. Mm. And yeah, so like that's definitely, I think that's a huge part of it. But also I think just
people, also because she's young, that's also another thing. That
yeah,
people,
she's young, but not she's only a young, she's woman. A young girl, and that is like, you know. So it really disturbs me when
I actually went to see her speech in Vienna.
I know, I'm so jealous. I saw the video. You sent pictures and videos. Mm. I'm really jealous you got to see her. But no, it really disturbs me when somebody actually like really hates her, because I'm like, how does this teenager, and she was, you know, she was so young when she started out, like how does someone who's that young annoy that really, you so much?
Get you so violently aggressive.
Yeah, like how does, there was other.
I think often it's just people who've done fuck all with their life and are just kind of jealous because she's.
Yeah, because like, she's somehow, got so much, you know, she's got so much traction. And I think that there's another thing is, you know, the accusation that she just does it for attention. I'm just like,
yeah, right.
You think that much effort, all of that effort, like for that, like, no, I just like, that really disturbs me when someone like actively hates her. That makes me very, very disturbed.
What I like about her is that she's actually, I think, one of the few actually authentic people who doesn't have an agenda. Her only agenda is, that's what I felt when the interviews I saw with her or when I saw her speech and the things she wrote, I realized that what makes her what I find sympathetic, what I like about her, is that I mean, often when you there are people who will try to be doing something which is good for the planet or whatever, usually have some kind of self-promotion agenda, you know, it's sort of the whole greenwashing thing. But with her, really, her only agenda, I feel, that's what the impression I got, her only agenda is actually trying to stop this catastrophe that she, you know, sees coming. Oh, it's already here, actually. It's already here. But,
it's already here.
It's not coming. Like, it's already too late.
And it's just, I don't know. I think,
but that's another thing that annoys me. So many politicians talk about, you know, averting what's happening and stuff like that. But it's, you're already right in the middle of it. Now all you can do is damage control.
Yeah,
you know, it's already fucked. It's already over. There are already millions and millions of species have died. We've already lost huge amounts of water.
Loads and loads of people are dying as a result of this. You know, people dying of just heat. It got so hot. People were just dying of heat.
Yeah, in Canada, you know? That was
horrible way to go. I don't want to die of heat. I already struggle. Like at 40 degrees, I already start like throwing up at that level of heat.
Yeah, you know,
I wouldn't last 5 seconds if it got above that. Like, I don't know. It's like, that's something I've there was a funny sketch actually. It was about because of all of the hatred towards Greta Thunberg. There was like, I think it was an Australian sketch. It was kind of like this helpline you could call to, you know, to talk to someone about your, you know, your problem with Greta Thunberg.
Really? Was it an ironic thing?
Yeah, it was ironic. It was obviously like, you know, have you found yourself incredibly enraged by a teenager? And it was like, if you have suffered from any of these symptoms, you can call this helpline. It was like, obviously, it was not saying that they were right to hate her. It was more like pointing out what sad pieces of shit they were for hating her because they've done fuck all to actually help. You know, because they're like, well, why don't you start your own? You don't like the way she's doing it. Why don't you start your own like organization to try and help the environment? They're like, oh, but you know, that's so much work. Yeah, yeah, it is. Mm. You know, so it was funny. I would have to look for it to find it. It's pretty good, but yeah. Anyway, that was something I just had to think about because we were talking about her. But yeah, that does deeply disturb me. Somebody who actively hates her has obviously got a problem, lots of problems. But how could you disagree with her? That's the thing. I don't understand.
That is something I always wonder about. So, I mean, because like you said at the very beginning when we started talking today, it's not even just something you read in the newspaper where a scientist said something you don't understand. You can actually see it for yourself. You can see that we're having incredibly hot winters. There, you know, places in Germany where they're carting water up the mountains to put on the fields so the cows don't die, you know, which is just really weird. And in Austria, in Vienna, when it gets too hot, they drive around spraying the streets with water so that somehow it cools down. It just gets more humid though in the end.
Yeah, so it's a terrible idea. But, it's like those hot stone sauna things.
Yeah, that's what it's like. And I haven't seen proper snow since I was like a teenager.
Yeah.
And now I'm 30, so it's like, you know, in the last 15 years a lot has changed. And it's I noticed that I can feel it. I can see how hot it's getting and how mild the winters are, and all these freak weather occurrences where our infrastructure just isn't built to deal with. How can one still question that? That is a very very hard question to answer. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that's something that's like, think when someone's like, I don't know, somebody recently bought a car, and I was just like, why would anyone buy if it's not electric? What are you doing? What, like, these things should all be outlawed anyway. Like, why, you know? And they are like these, that, you know, in some places they're trying to get, you know, people, give people incentive to switch to electric and stuff, you know, but it's like the tiniest little effort to try and get people to do that.
It's very slow, the thing is. I mean, like, the uses, still, I think they want to ban motor cars by 2000, so new cars by 2030 or 35. That's still like, that's in like,
That's
10 years.
It doesn't feel like quick enough because like they're making more and more of them. And what's going to happen then? They're just suddenly going to become illegal?
No, they're going to carry on using the ones that were built before
exactly,
that.
Exactly, but they last forever.
You know, it's obviously a real shit show.
it's a complete disaster. It's like it's not good enough. And I, you know, also it's hard. I also understand. Here's the thing. It's easy for me to be right. Like, you know, oh, you shouldn't drive a car. I live in London. I have so much, there's the infrastructure and public transport is amazing, right? Mm. But there are so many places when you get outside of the cities where you are completely dependent on a car. You don't have any other option, basically. And that's a big problem in America. Like, you know, when you, we were talking about SUVs and stuff earlier, like, what are you going to do? You have kids, you live in a rural area, or like you live in like the suburbs, there is no infrastructure. There's not even a bus for you to, like, you have, you need the car to drive your kids to school. You need the car to go to the shops. You basically have no other choice. So that so would much be, more has to happen.
That would you be need- fine. You know, I mean, the thing is, the numbers would, I think, say that, I mean, most people in the world live in big cities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is where most of the CO2 is produced. And, you know, there are people here in a city like Vienna, which has a perfect infrastructure, has perfect public transport, and they drive an SUV. They just really don't need it. They drive it from work to home, which is maybe like maximum 10 kilometers. And most people who have cars don't actually need it. I think, yeah, obviously, it'd be fine if you lived like in the middle of nowhere, you'd need to somehow get there. That'd be something different. But I think, I think there was a discussion about banning cars from the center of Vienna, and I thought that would have been, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, I think they're discussing doing that here as well, actually. I think, yeah, that's the thing. I do. It's not, I'm not saying, you know, saying like, obviously,
and unnecessary air traffic, of course.
People, I understand that people in a lot of places need cars, but also that's another thing you should work on, is like governments need to work on build, you know, working on the infrastructure. You need to have better infrastructure in, you know, suburban areas, so that, you know, you're not dependent on cars, so that kids can get to school without having to be driven, you know. But that's a big problem, especially in America. Like, what I've seen in America is this, like, in very few of, even the cities, like if you're in Los Angeles, you need a car. You, it's not like it's very, you know, the infrastructure isn't great for getting around without one. If you're in like places like, say, New York, they have, you know, they have good public transport, but a lot of places don't. And so that's why, you know, everyone basically has a car. Also, everyone starts learning to drive at school because they need it. They don't have any other option, basically. And so you need to like, that's something that has to be done. Like, you need to work on that. You need to have more options if you do want to not drive, you know.
I had a really freaky experience about 2 weeks ago. I usually, to get to work, I take my bicycle to the Karlsplatz in Vienna, to one stop, and then I change to the tube because that's just the most comfortable and fast way to get to work. And on my way home, I got my bicycle at Karlsplatz, and I was driving home, and I drive along this ring which goes around the center of Vienna, and it's like there's always massive traffic, and it's very loud. And so I was driving along and just thought, something's just not right, something's wrong, you know. It's just it's just really quiet. But there were loads and loads of cars driving. And then suddenly I realized that it was some kind of parade or something, or demonstration, but it was like, and it was organized, but it was only electric cars driving on the ring. And so the traffic was normal, the speed was normal, the amount of cars were normal, but it was completely silent, and it was really nice, actually.
Yeah,
it was really nice.
The thing is, like, a lot of people are like, oh, electric cars are dangerous because they're so quiet, you won't hear them coming. Like, I mean, first of all, you should look where you're going. Please look where you're going.
Also,
I think we could probably design them to make them louder if you wanted to, but part of the good thing about it is noise pollution. You know what I mean? Like, less noise pollution.
It was really nice.
From electric cars. And another thing people are saying, and there was, you know, I think people are kind of grasping at straws at this point to try and justify not having electric cars. It was like, oh, cats fall asleep underneath them and then get run over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm having a hard time believing that. I believe cats sleep under the cars, absolutely. But have you ever, cats are very, very, very sensitive to noise. I guarantee you they would wake up from somebody getting into the car in the first place and they would go away. And how many cats are we really losing, you know, from electric cars? I don't think that the number is very high. And maybe just make the people in electric cars check under the car for a cat. That would also be a good solution to that. You know,
the thing is, most people would rather save one cat from an electric car, but give like millions and millions of ocean creatures who are dying from oil poisoning, which is from drilling oil under the ocean. So, because, you know, they care more about cats than...
I mean, I get, like, clams. Nobody wants their pet to be run to be run over by a car, but, like, just make the person who is... And, like, try, like, just, people should just look under their cars.
Yeah. Like, if they care about their cat, they can look under the car.
Exactly. Exactly. That's kind of my point. Like, it might not be your cat who's sleeping under the car, but still, I don't drive yet. I don't have a car. I don't have a driver's license. But now that I know that cats sleep under cars... If I ever do have a driver's license, I'm sure as hell going to check under the car to make sure there's no cat underneath there.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
So,
I think we could probably talk for hours and hours about all the intricacies and all the weirdness. And I mean, one thing I have to say is though, obviously, with all the critique, I'm up to a point quite... Like, actually, I have most, I think the most, what's the word? The definitive human trait is hypocrisy.
Mm.
And I'm obviously not as environmentally friendly as I could be. And sometimes I lapse into bad habits, but I think one can try. All one can do is try, really.
Like, I mean, I'm far from being a vegan. Like, I would love to manage that leap, but I'm just crap at it. And, like, I definitely have reduced the amount of meat I eat. But at the same time, every once in a while, I'll see a mortadella sandwich and just fall off the wagon.
Yeah, no, it's difficult, especially if you grow up in a meat
family environment. Yeah, we ate so much meat when we were children. It was like, I feel like I'm addicted to it, honestly. Like, I crave it like crazy. And if I see it, like... The excitement I feel, my God, at a steak is like a bit weird.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's, you don't have to stop eating meat altogether. You can also just reduce the amount of meat you eat. Like, it's not all black and white. You can find, you know, your way of doing things. And, like, I think the future doesn't, like, the future as, you know, because people get so reactionary. People were upset because, like, you know, Joe Biden said something about something. And then a bunch of Americans were like, oh, my God, now we're not going to be able to have burgers on the 4th of July because, you know. Someone was like, you know, I don't want to eat a vegan burger on the 4th. It was great. It's like someone was saying, you know, now we're going to be forced to have vegan burgers and vegan beer.
Beer is vegan.
I know, Hector. I know.
Yeah, sorry, that was my automatic reaction. That's funny though. Yeah.
It's funny. It's fucking idiots. Like, they're so reactionary. Then you get Fox News being like, oh, the president is going to take away your burgers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no one's saying it. You never get to eat a burger. You just don't have to eat a burger every day. How about, like, start it once a week and then maybe, like, once a month, you know? You don't have to eat meat every day.
So maybe it'd be better. To. Maybe be better if we carried on as fast as we could so that we all die very quickly and then nature can try and recover.
Maybe we have to die before we kill all the animals.
Well, that's not going to happen, but maybe some will survive and then they'll just...
Yeah, like cockroaches and rats will probably survive. I can see rats, like, very, very resourceful and resilient rats are. Mm. But, like, the things like koala bears, they need to eat eucalyptus. And if all of the forests with eucalyptus are burnt to the ground, there'll be no koala bears left. I can't bear that. I can't bear the idea of koala bears dying. They're so cute.
Yeah, well, yeah, like we said, it's a complete shit show. And like I said, we could probably talk for hours about it, but we're already more or less hitting the time limit.
Yes.
I'm not sure what we're going to talk about next week.
We'll either do a poll or we'll do an ad hoc episode like this time. I guess it was quite spontaneous, but we felt it was very...
Yeah, I think because of what was going on, you know,
what was going on with bloody Jeff Bezos. And also we kind of needed to get some stuff off our chest, I guess.
Yeah. And there's just so much. We were thinking about doing it for a while, actually, because it is something that massively impacts how I feel in this world.
Absolutely. Actually,
it does give me a lot of anxiety thinking about it.
Every time there's one of these events, my anxiety is through the roof.
Well, if you haven't already, give us a follow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Instagram, Anchor, and many other podcast platforms. We hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have any thoughts on that you'd like to share with us, you can DM us on Instagram.
Yep. Or if you have any episode suggestions, anything you'd like us to talk about in particular, our DMs are always wide open for anyone to get in touch.
We'd love to hear from you.
From you.